In 1850, Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote the famous book, The Scarlet Letter. The Scarlet Letter is about a young woman named Hester. And Hester was caught and had a baby during an affair. And she was jailed for adultery. In fact, she was mocked and she was ridiculed. And when the baby turned 3 months, Hester was released. Well, her initial debt to society was paid, but there was more punishment to be had. She was made to stand high above the town square for 3 hours wearing a red cloth A on her dress. Now, her public shaming would become her legacy. Years after this event, she was still an outcast, a social pariah. People would ridicule her, they would mock her, and she became defined by her sin, by her shame, and by her guilt. Many of us, I believe, walk around with our own scarlet letter, that thing that we believe defines us. Maybe it's a secret that only you know about, a secret sin. For some, it's a letter that only you can see. And you might be saying, yeah, that's me. Or maybe you're saying, yeah, that used to define me. Maybe it's someone else's letter that's been imposed upon your life. And you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I'm damaged goods. You end up wearing other people's failures as your own. Today, we're going to deal with our scarlet letter. Whether your letter is whatever it is, we're going to call it sin. Because ultimately, it's what it is. And I want you to know that there is good news, that there is no letter that God can't remove. That's the good news. So today we're going to take a closer look at guilt, shame, grace, and the power of confession. In fact, when we look at Proverbs 28:13, it reads, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." People who conceal their sins, they're not going to prosper. But if they confess and they turn from them, they will receive mercy. That's what I want to help you with today. Well, we're going to stop here and move to the started out section of our talk sheet. Utilize the talk sheet to get things going, get the conversation started as you talk more about what is that, maybe that scarlet letter that we're carrying around and that we need to address or deal with today. After you're done going through the started out section, just press play on the device that you're watching this, and it'll automatically go to the next section. Well, I would encourage you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 and Luke chapter 18. And as we just read in Proverbs 28, confession is a really key principle to understand how the beginning process of removing that scarlet letter from our lives. Confession is turning from sin. When we turn from sin, that's where we receive mercy. And that's what Proverbs 28 reveals to us. Now, unconfessed sin is one of the ways that the enemy gets access to our table. If we don't confess the sin, then the enemy is going to get access. And if we want to take away the enemy's seat, we need to deal with his source of control, which is the sin in our lives. But even after we confess, often two results of sin still remain. We still feel the residual effect of the guilt and the shame that's associated with that even confessed sin. Often, their guilt and shame are associated together. Well, I want to first discuss guilt. Louis Giglio has said, "Guilt is the position of being accountable for sins and shortcomings. It's a legal term that points to remorse." Now, if you've ever said or thought or did something improper or false, or dishonorable, or impure, you are guilty. And the gavel is dropped, you're guilty as charged of sin. Now, the second point that I want to discuss is shame. And again, Louis Giglio has said, shame, on the other hand, is the feeling of being defined by your sin and shortcomings. Shame acknowledges guilt, yet it intertwines the sin with your identity. So it's not only the guilt of experiencing what we go through and from our sin, but it's also the shame that gets so intertwined. But there is a distinct difference. Guilt says, I did something wrong, where shame says, I am something wrong. Guilt communicates that I thought or I did something bad, where shame communicates, I am something bad. Again, I want to make sure that we infuse a lot of good news in this lesson today. So here's some more good news. The pathway to freedom from both guilt and shame is the power of grace. That grace becomes the pathway. Grace is powerful, and it is powerful enough to not only destroy sin, but to destroy the guilt and the shame associated with that sin. Well, there's plenty of biblical examples of God destroying guilt and shame by the power of his grace. I want to point out two for you today, one from the Old Testament and then one from the New Testament. So as you move through the scripture, I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. God here in Isaiah chapter 6 is extremely patient with his people Israel. In fact, he's waiting for them to respond to his holiness. And Isaiah during this time is a prophet who, as we'll see in chapter 6, had a vision of encountering the holiness of God in the throne room. Now, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 points to this story. Then I said, it's all over. This is Isaiah having this image of standing before God in the throne room. It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people of filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Isaiah recognizes sin. He recognizes that for this particular case, that he is ruined, he is unclean, he's a man of unclean lips, and he lives among a people of unclean lips. So he recognizes and identifies the sin, but he doesn't just leave it there. He confesses it to God. I'm doomed. And Isaiah felt completely destroyed in the presence of God, which, of course, he would. Because of God's holiness, because of God's power and authority and purity, Isaiah knew he had no business standing before God, and he knew that he should have been dead. But thank goodness that this was a vision, and he recognized that he confessed his sin and that God was going to do something miraculous. Because here's the thing we need to realize. The closer you get to God, the more sinful you realize you are. That's a key takeaway. As we draw closer to God, we realize more and more that we're sinful. And the response to our sin needs to be the same. I'm doomed. I'm ruined. I'm sinful. Now, for Isaiah, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. But what is it for you? What would you say? I'm ruined. I'm doomed. I'm sinful in this area. That confession helps to spur on the process of receiving God's grace. Repentance isn't negative. Confession isn't negative. In fact, repentance opens the door to allow God's grace to step through. God is willing and desires and is able to step through the threshold of dealing with the sin in our lives, but we have to start by repenting. It starts with I'm sinful, I've fallen short, and thank God he is so filled with grace. And we see that here in verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal, and he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. I'm sure that Isaiah thought that he should have been dead. But instead, in that moment, instead of God killing him on the spot because he was impure, because he was unclean, and God is holy, and God is set apart, and God can have nothing to do with sinful man, Isaiah was purified. He was cleansed in the presence of God. Now, I want you to grab this imagery. This is really important. a hot coal of purification coming from the throne of God to restore and purify and cast out sin was what happened to Isaiah. Fast forward now to the New Testament. We find in the purpose of Jesus the necessity for that grace that was extended from God to us. In fact, Jesus is God's hot coal of redemption and grace that came down from heaven's throne, and it rested, and the purpose was to restore a sinful world. So just like Isaiah was standing before God, and he was recognizing and confessing that he was ruined and he was unclean, and God's grace extended to him through a hot coal, God sent his hot coal, Jesus, to this earth to restore and redeem those who have confessed that they are ruined and they are sinful. Again, it takes confession. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Now, I want you to see that there is a conditional clause in this scripture. And the conditional clause is the word if. If we confess our sins. That's the condition. You see, God can't heal, God can't forgive an unconfessed sin. Only a sin that is confessed can God heal. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins, and not just some of our sins, but all of our sins. Now, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at a New Testament story that's going to help us to understand what it means and looks like to allow God's grace to overthrow the guilt and the shame that the enemy keeps whispering into our ears. Today is about recognizing that one of the ways that we protect ourselves from the enemy is not giving him access to the table, and that is to deal with the sin that is a part of our lives. So in Luke 18, we find this parable. And a parable, again, is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. So in verse 13, starting in verse 9, it says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, 'I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income.' But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. And he prayed with great humility," which was a sign of humility. "Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner.'" You see, the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector was that the tax collector approached God with a repentant heart, and he confessed that he was a sinner. And this is an example of how we're supposed to approach God with our sin in tow. Then Jesus tells us how God responds to this posture of repentance and confession. Jesus says in verse 14, "I tell you, this sinner," meaning the tax collector, "not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The power of grace is transformative, and it cancels out the guilt and the shame. And not only that, grace redefines you. It redefines who you are. And you're no longer defined by that scarlet letter. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." Instead of being defined by guilt and shame and sin and the scarlet letter, we are defined as being a child of God, made in the image of God. I love what Louis Giglio says. "The enemy wants to define you by your scars. Jesus wants to define you by his scars. Such a solid point. So we're going to stop here and move to the talk it out section. So in the talk it out section, we're going to kind of discuss and talk through the principles of the verses that we just talked about, the scripture. And so I want to encourage you to talk through that with your group. And then as you're wrapping up and getting ready, you'll just hit play back and we'll be able to go on to the next and final session of this lesson. For too long, you have been the victim of identity theft. The enemy has stolen your identity and has destroyed your image. And it's time to take your table back and stop giving the enemy the access to your table through the sins that have gone unconfessed. So to deal with your unconfessed sin, I want you to do two things. Number one, like Isaiah, I want you to call that sin out to God. That's the first thing. You have to recognize that you are fallen, that you are sinful, that you're not perfect. It's probably not hard for all of us to do, because I recognize I'm not perfect, and I'm in need of a Savior. And I'm in need of not just a Savior, I'm in need of His grace. So we need to call out that sin to God. And then the second thing I want you to do is like the tax collector, I want you to cry out, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." What's amazing is when we cry this out to God, when we say, "Oh God, be merciful to me," you are enabling and empowering God to put His grace in action in our lives. And again, God's grace is powerful enough to not just deal with the sin, but also deal with the guilt and the shame that's typically associated with that sin. Now, here's the key thing. Just like we learned earlier in 1 John chapter 1, it's your choice. If you do these things, then you're no longer going to be defined by your sin. Instead, you'll be defined by God's grace. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I believe that there are many who are watching this today. And they are recognizing that there is unconfessed sin in their lives. They are recognizing the necessity for your grace. They are recognizing that not only have we in our past confessed the sin that has tripped us up, that has given the enemy a seat at our table, but also that the residual of that is guilt and shame. Lord, we don't just want you to deal with the sin in our lives. We want you to deal with the guilt and the shame that's associated with that sin. So whatever it is, Lord, that we need to confess to you, I come before you, and I pray that others will come before you right now and that they would be confessing to you, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Lord, you tell us in your word that it was the tax collector who walked away justified because he was humble, because he was honest, because he was repentant and he confessed. So Lord, put that in us today. Help us to be repentant. Help us to confess. And help us, Lord, to be remorseful, recognizing our sin and not allowing our sin to be the scarlet letter we wear on our chest, but instead to know that we are your children. Today is somebody's Independence Day, when they take back their table. They recognize that it's the sin that has given the enemy access, and they say no more. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us each and every one of us the power and the ability to cry out to you in repentance and in confession and to recognize that you desire to remove the guilt and the shame and the sin and do it all through your powerful grace. We praise you and give you thanks in your name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me today. And as we end each of our lessons, it's so important to end with the benediction. And so I would encourage you to just open up your hands and to receive this benediction. If you're in a place where you can say this out loud, I encourage you to say it with me. It's always good when we start to memorize scripture, because we can utilize it at different points in our journey and throughout our day and throughout our week. So I encourage you again, say this with me. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Say this together. We are sent.